When our teams go out to aged care facilities for services, we always have a prayer time. And we ask the residents what they would like to pray for. And always the answer is for our families. The separation from families is a heavy grief to bear for many. They are separated by distance or by their family's busy schedule or by a relational distance that's either crept up on everyone or exploded sometime in the past. That experience can be very isolating, and people yearn for the presence of loved ones. I think nearly all of us have had a taste of that over the last 2 years. Family and friends interstate, and we haven't seen them in ages. Nieces, nephews, grandchildren, great-grandchildren being born, and we haven't seen them yet. Toddlers who will need to take time to remember us again. Parents who and grandparents who we need to see and we cherish every moment with. Or we're isolated from friends and their regular catch-ups that we sort of took for granted pre-COVID. Children living away from home and having to fend for themselves more than we would like. Family overseas that we need to see but cannot. And our church family fractured by the closed border. We yearn for the presence of loved ones. And I think we realise that we hate isolation. Even introverts like me have learnt that we just need each other. And that reflects the experience of the people of God as they waited for the Messiah. The experience of exile in Babylon, and then even the return from exile, left an aching heart, a longing to be restored to God. Because there was a relational distance. Things still didn't seem right between them and God. Sin still plagued them, that the very things that got them into exile were the things they were doing when they came home. And the words of the weeping songs in the Psalms still sounded far too relevant. How long, Lord, will you forget us forever? They wanted to be near to God and they wanted Him to be near to them. They were still wandering in a wasteland wilderness, yearning for the promises. And so when the angel speaks to Joseph, he says that the child to be born is to be given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, that would have to be one of the most wondrous names in the whole Bible. And maybe you were given your name because it has a special meaning. In the Bible, many people are given particular names because of their character or because of the events that surround them or because a job that they're given to do. And so in Matthew 1, the angel tells Joseph to give the boy who's to be born the name Jesus because he says he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. So Jesus' name means or says what he will do. Matthew says that this happened to fulfill a prophecy made 700 years earlier where he uses another name for Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus means what he will do. Emmanuel says who Jesus is, God with us. Now, that's an amazing truth that we need to spend some time thinking about. Both parts of that of what Emmanuel means tells us the glory of what's happening at Christmas. Jesus, Emmanuel, is God with us. Let's look first of all at that awesome truth that Jesus is God. In all our readings this morning, we didn't get to read John chapter 1, that's Christmas Day, where John puts Jesus coming into the world in its eternal perspective. So he begins his gospel, not with Mary or Joseph or their angels, but with eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, Jesus, God with us, is first of all God. Always existing, present, involved in creation, enjoying all the glory of God. At the Last Supper, after all those years of being together with his disciples, Philip, one of those disciples, says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus replies, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In Matthew, the virgin birth declares Jesus' identity as God. The angel told Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife because her conception is from the Holy Spirit. In Luke, we heard that he will be called the Son of God. Now, Jesus truly is God, and we don't just have these words at his birth telling us that. We watch him through the Gospels, demonstrating his complete authority over disease and nature and Satan and even death itself. Emmanuel, God with us. The second part of that title is that he is God with us. Again, John 1 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, but he became flesh. The Word was with God, but he also made his dwelling among us. The Word was God, and he brought grace and truth into the world. He who is infinite and eternal came into the weakness and limitations of a human body. He came from the glory of heaven to a hopeless, confused, cruel and hurting humanity. And as God, he speaks and lives grace and truth in a hard and deceived world. And when Jesus came into the world, he lived by the rules, those harsh rules that we live under. There was no preferential treatment for him. When the wise men turned up at the palace in Jerusalem looking for the new king, well, they were just met with blank stares, because only later would they find that this great king is born in a stable in a country village. As he grows up later, his own townspeople would even try and kill him. But that was nothing new, because even after his birth, the king at the time was prepared to kill dozens of babies as long as he got to kill Jesus. And so Jesus and his family become refugees living in Egypt until it's safe to return. He grew up with no privilege. And throughout his public ministry, he blessed children when others sought to keep them away. He spoke graciously to women when a male society treated them barely as human. He brought dignity to men who were shunned by polite society. And he spoke truth to ordinary people that the religious leaders had written off as a sinful rabble. And he willingly walked to his death, weighed down by insults and physical abuse, and yet prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And when we see that, we begin to see and know a bit of what his name means, God with us. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, where he says that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Jesus left heaven with the mission and the very name to come and to bring us back to God. That's what reconcile means. You know, our relationship with God looked as though it was permanently broken. We had walked away from him. And yet, even though God was the offended one, he made that move to come back to us. In Jesus, God comes to earth to bring us back by the way of the cross and to reconcile our broken relationship. And Jesus is God with us in every way, with us to bring us back to God. And Jesus knows exactly what it means to be human. He laughed at a good joke, enjoyed parties, sang, made friends. He had brothers and sisters. He learned a trade. He wept, went hungry, got tired, was tempted. He was hurt by insults, rejected by his hometown, hated by the people in power, threatened with murder time and again. He was misunderstood and deserted by his friends. He was an embarrassment to his family, and betrayed by someone who had been his friend for 3 years. Jesus knows exactly what it means to be human. We're not left with the false comfort that God doesn't care about us, so we don't need to care about him. Jesus is God with, near to, close by us, prepared to do everything to bring you back to him, to welcome you into his family forever. Jesus, God with us in every aspect of our life. He knows what you experience. He knows what it feels like to be lonely or misunderstood. He lost his earthly father at a young age. He lost friends to death. He knows what it means to be burdened with the cares of this life. And he promises to come alongside you, to be God with you. No matter what life has in store for us, Jesus is with his people, with everyone who puts their trust in him. Jesus, God with us. No statement could be more challenging to our desire to keep God at arm's length. We can't sort of stand there with arms crossed, sort of waiting for God to make the first move, because he has. And we can't sort of tap our feet waiting, demanding that God do more for us, because what more could he do? Jesus, God with us, no statement could bring as much comfort. Our isolation is over. We are loved. If you haven't experienced that yet, now, this Christmas is the time. The good news of great joy that's for all the people is also good news for you and for me. So it's my prayer that you'll take hold of that name and all that it means, to put your trust in Jesus, who is God with you. Why don't we pray together? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that these songs and Bible readings don't just appeal to our memories and sense of nostalgia. These are words of life for us. Hope in a dark place. Comfort and presence in a time of isolation. Jesus with us in all the experiences of our life. He came down from earth to earth from heaven. He's God and Lord of all. And yet he was happy to be born in a manger, grow up a life of deprivation, of trial, and even to that experience of the cross for our sakes. Then to rise again, to be King and God and sacrifice, and to be able to show this good news and to be with us forever. Lord, may we take hold of this good news. Hold on to it with all our hearts, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.